Well, with a smaller congregation this morning, it's felt just a little impersonal to speak from the large pulpit, so just come down a little closer to you. Today, we're in the third week of a Lenten message series that comes from the Sermon on the Mount, which is a collection of teachings and sayings that Jesus used to paint a picture of what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And each week between now and Palm Sunday, we're going to be looking at different nuggets of truth that Jesus taught in this sermon and how they really have the power to guide our lives. In the first week, we looked at the Beatitudes where Jesus talked about how we are blessed, how we're blessed when we work for things such as justice and peace, and how we're blessed even when we're persecuted by others for doing what is pleasing to God. Then last week, we looked at where Jesus told his disciples that they were salt and light, even as imperfect as they were, that they were making an impact on the world. And now today, our focus is on the word no, of saying no to the temptations that threaten to sidetrack us and do great damage to our souls. Our scripture reading for today is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 27 through 30, and today I'll be reading from the New Living Translation where Jesus says this. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even the stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask for you to speak to us through these words of Scripture and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. One thing I just want to mention before I start out is I think something very powerful that we can all do. Call people. Call your neighbors, call your relatives, call your friends. Just let them know that while there's this time that we are kind of separated as a people, that they are still very much in our thoughts and hearts and prayers. I think that means a lot. So please take advantage of this opportunity to let people know just how much you care. Well, not too many of us like hearing the word no. And it seems like we've heard that word no a lot this past week. No basketball, no classes, no handshakes, no toilet paper. No. And I have to tell you, I feel so sorry for those athletes and for us fans who will literally go mad without March Madness. And I feel so bad for all of our kids at FM who work so hard on the play Les Miserables. We bought tickets and we're really looking forward to going, but the governor said no, and that was probably a good decision. But sometimes that's how life goes, isn't it? Most of us go through life hearing that word quite often. There's a list outside the locker room with the names of those who made varsity, and you're not on it. Been there. That's a no. There are envelopes that come back from the colleges that you apply to, and some are thick, which is a very good sign, and some are thin, which probably means no. And you finally build up the courage to ask that someone special out, and they always have an excuse, but what they really mean is no. We apply for jobs, we apply for promotions, we take risks, and sometimes, and maybe oftentimes, we hear that word that we just really don't like hearing, and that's the word no. But oftentimes the word no is exactly the word that we need to hear. Good parents have to use this word a lot. No, you cannot stay out after midnight. No, you cannot have the keys to the car. No, you cannot go to the movies until your homework is done. As parents, we use that word to protect our children. It's one of the most important words in the parenting language. And our scripture reading for today really comes down to the word no. It comes down to don't do this. Don't go there. Don't even think about going there. Just say no. And then our reading for today, Jesus makes the point rather emphatically when it comes to adultery. And his instructions are not simply saying no, but don't even think about it. He says, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And just to be fair, I think the same applies to a woman who looks at a man with lust. It does happen, just saying. Want to be fair and balanced. And Jesus said, if your eye causes you to lust, gouge it out, throw it away. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. I read this story that came, I had it in my files. The story is dated 1966, but I still had it in my files. It's about a young surgeon from India who was a resident at a hospital in St. Louis. And unfortunately, he took these instructions very literally in an attempt to reconcile with his estranged wife. His wife was a staff physician at Children's Hospital in St. Louis, and she was living in a dormitory there. And the surgeon called a taxi driver to his apartment and gave him a package, which he asked to have delivered to his wife. When she opened the package, she found the surgeon's bloody hand inside the box with a note. This is the hand that caused all the trouble. That's gross, isn't it? The police were called. When they arrived, the surgeon at the surgeon's apartment, they found him in a coma on the floor in the bathroom. And on the kitchen table, they found a butcher knife and a hacksaw, which he had used in making the amputation. I think this illustration should make it painfully obvious that the Bible should not always be taken literally. So how are we to respond to these words from Jesus? I think it's important for you to know that just before Jesus said these words, he said this in verse 17. Do not think that I have come to do away with the law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets. I have not come to do away with them, but to accomplish their purpose. And then in verse 20, he says, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is really talking about here is righteousness, not self-righteousness. Not crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's as the Pharisees and teachers of the law were famous for. Not about putting on a show for other people to see. But what he was talking about was a purity of the heart that flows from within. He's talking about internalized righteousness. Of your conduct coming out of who you are on the inside. The great John Wooden put it this way. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think of you. The true test of a person's character is what he does when no one is watching. Jesus said he came not to abolish the law of the prophets, but to fulfill them. And he began to explain that the commandments of God should not be thought of as just a way of regulating outward actions, that they should be thought of instead as a guide that forms the inner life of the individual or community. While the regulation of outward actions is absolutely necessary, Jesus said that's not enough. Jesus said, you have heard it says you should not murder, but I tell you that if you're angry with your brother or sister, there's a problem. Saying no to murder, of course, is necessary, but it's not enough. What Jesus is after is for people to learn empathy and ways of relating to others that build people up and create community and connection. When Jesus talked about not looking at someone with lust, he was teaching about relating to people differently, with respect, rather than seeing people as something to be exploited. So how do you accomplish that? Because it's certainly different than how our world thinks about things. And I think the best answer to that question comes from the pen of St. Paul, who writes this in the 12th chapter of Romans. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete changing of your mind. You see, as we give God more and more space in our life, God has this way of changing us from the inside out, of transforming how we see things and how we treat people. That's why spending time in worship and spending time in prayer and reflection and spending time in the study of the scriptures and spending time with those who can mentor us is essential. It matures us. And God uses these tools as a way of rewiring, continually rewiring our brains to help us see things and experience things differently. Not as the world sees them, but as God designed things to be. One more thing that I want you to understand before we move on. It's something that I think a lot of people misunderstand. It's where Jesus talks about not getting into the kingdom or being thrown into hell. Now, some folks interpret this to mean, if I don't get things right, I won't go to heaven, I won't pass go, I won't collect $200, and I'm headed directly to hell. But if that's true, we're all doomed because we all miss that mark. But Jesus uses these words to make a point about alignment. That when we follow God's ways and God's ways flow from us, when we are in sync and aligned with the way God created us and designed us, we're in harmony and we find God's peace in the way we live. In the Gospel of John, the author uses the expression eternal life to represent the same thing that Matthew calls the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking here about a different quantity of life. He's talking about a different quality of life, a life that's aligned with God, a kingdom life, a life that has lasting worth and values that are eternal. But when we depart from this way of living, when we're more about pleasing our desires than pleasing God, we pay a price. We pay a huge price. And we do great damage to our souls and to the souls of other people. Just as a good parent says no in order to protect their children, God says no to keep us from things that damage our soul and separate us from God. It's not about punishment. Rather, there are natural consequences when you go against how God designed us and how God designed the universe to work. Now, I want to get back to this idea that St. Paul wrote about not conforming to the standards of this world, but instead allowing God to continually transform and renew our way of thinking. You know what? It's hard work because it's about changing old patterns. It's about cutting off rotten stuff. It's about replacing self-defeating patterns with God-honoring patterns. It's about thinking differently and doing things differently. It's about responding rather than reacting. It's about saying no to temptations and yes to the ways of God. I want you to think about this. Before Jesus began his public ministry, we all know what he did. He spent 40 days in the desert, little to eat, little to drink. He grew very weak and vulnerable, and that's when he was tested by the evil one. But Jesus was able to say no because he was prepared. He was able to say no because he had a clear identity. He knew who he was. He knew who he wasn't, and he knew keenly that his strength came not from himself but from God the Father. That desert was like a proving ground that prepared him for the challenge of public ministry. And the point is, we continue to grow in our ability to say no to the temptations of this world and yes to the ways of God when we grow in our maturity in faith. When we grow deeper, we become better prepared for the temptations of this world and everything that the world can throw at us. I want to close with this illustration. When I was in grad school, I dated a girl whose father, Ralph, was a huge sailor. Loved being out on a sailboat. He was a university professor. He had a lot of time off in the summer. He also had a 49-foot sailboat. And during part of his time off, he taught the Boy Scouts in the Explorer program how to sail, and he often asked me to help out with that. I mean, he needed somebody to mop the decks. But Ralph was huge into drilling. Man overboard drills. What do we do? How do we do? How do we respond? What do we do? And he was huge into all these different drills. What do we do if this happens? What do we do if that happens? And I'm like, Ralph, man, the weather's perfect out here. Can't we just enjoy it instead of doing all these drills? He said, no, we got to do these drills. Got to do these drills. All right, Ralph. And then we took a small group for a three-day trip from Rogers City, from the port on Rogers City in Lake Huron, to Beaver Island around on Lake Michigan. And the weather was perfect until we went through the Straits of Mackinac, and then shortly after that, this storm, this enormous storm just came out of nowhere. It was gales, it was 60-mile-an-hour winds, 15-foot seas. I'm telling you, that's one of the times I thought, I'm not going to make it. But you know what? We knew how to handle it. We'd been prepared. We didn't even have to think about it. We just did it because we were ready. In no time flat, the sails were down, the hatches were battened, and we were ready to ride out the storm. It didn't mean we weren't afraid. It didn't mean we didn't lose our lunch, but we were ready. Several boats went down that day, and there was loss of life. And without all those drills, without all that training, we could have been among that number. So this is my encouragement to you. Train, train, train. Grow, grow, grow in your faith. Be prepared to say no to the dangers, the toils and snares that come your way, because they do. Be prepared to say no to temptations and yes to the ways of God. Decide in advance who you are and how you will deal with things. And then one last thing. We all blow it from time to time. We need to move forward. And to move forward, you got to let go of those past mistakes. You got to ask for forgiveness from God and then move on. God's forgiveness, God always forgives you, and you have no control on what others think. Don't let them put you in their prison. But accept that grace that comes from the hand of God. I want to close with this quote. It comes from C.S. Lewis. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. I love that. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to grow in faith and give us the strength to say no to that which separates us from you. Challenge us to align our ways with yours and to seek to do what's right, even when it's difficult. Continue to guide us through the power of your Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.